Welcome to the poem of the week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How was your week last week?
It was great. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Mark. We've got an interesting phenomenon we're going to look at today. There's been a bit of literature about how do you treat effectively Bell's palsy. This week, we're going to ask whether steroids or antivirals improve the outcome of patients with Bell's palsy. But first, a little bit of background. Bell's palsy is characterized, as we know, by unilateral acute partial or acute paralysis of the face. It can occur with mild pain, numbness. It usually has some increased sensitivity associated with it. Up to 30% of people with acute peripheral facial palsy have other identifiable causes, things like stroke, tumors, middle ear disease, Lyme disease. Of course, that means 70% of patients don't. Severe pain is more consistent with inflammations following herpes zoster infection. Bell's palsy more common in younger people between the ages of 15 and 40 years of age. Also, pregnant women seem to be at higher risk. Bell's palsy may be caused by reactivation of herpes virus in the cranial nerve ganglia. Now, we don't know or haven't known clearly whether corticosteroids or antiviral treatment improve recovery of motor function or cosmetically disabling sequela compared to placebo or other treatments. So this is a study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. They asked, do either prednisolone or acyclovir improve outcome in patients with Bell's palsy? And Mark, what did they find?
Well, this was probably the best and largest study to date on this question. The literature is full of kind of little crappy studies that have kind of, you know, I don't want to be too hard on them, but they weren't too big and they weren't terribly well designed. And this really does clarify the issue for us. The researchers identified patients, or actually primary care doctors identified patients, and then referred anyone over the age of 16 with unilateral facial weakness. They referred them within 72 hours to an ENT doctor who was doing this research, and most of them got there within a day or two. They were then randomized to one of four groups. They either got prednisolone 25 milligrams twice a day for 10 days, acyclovir 400 milligrams five times a day for 10 days, both or only placebo. And a total of 550 patients were randomized to the four groups, and about 10% were lost to follow-up, so that's pretty reasonable. The groups were balanced and similar at the beginning of the study. The analysis was by intention to treat, so that's good too. The primary outcome was the degree of facial paralysis, and they used a scale from 1 to 6, where 1 is normal function and 6 is total paralysis. And after 9 months, 94% of patients who got steroids had no paralysis, compared with only 82% who got placebo. So the number needed to treat is 8, and the number needed to treat was actually 5 after 3 months, so it was even more impressive at 3 months. There was absolutely no benefit seen for acyclovir, and the combination of prednisolone and acyclovir wasn't any better than just the prednisolone alone. So bottom line is that for Bell's palsy, prednisolone 25 milligrams twice a day for 10 days definitely improves long-term facial appearance and function. Acyclovir, though, doesn't improve outcomes, and I don't think we need to use that.
Okay, so we can put acyclovir to rest. Prednisolone is good news. It's cheap, the dose is easy, and the outcomes seem pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, so for every 8 patients that you treat, you're going to have one more who avoids long-term facial paralysis or functional impairments. That's great.
Seems a little unclear why it took so long to come up with the evidence to suggest that steroids really did help.
Yeah, it's one of those things where steroids are cheap, steroids aren't being promoted heavily, and so with these kind of conditions, and also I think there was a strongly held belief that steroids as well as antivirals are effective, so most doctors were using these already, but they didn't really know. They thought they worked, but they didn't know if they worked. And So now we know that prednisolone works, and I think we know pretty clearly that the antivirals don't, at least certainly not in this study.
Right. Are there any clinical tools, Mark, that we can use to separate patients that may be more predisposed to having a viral etiology from Bell's palsy that may actually benefit from antivirals?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any, and you know, typically takes too long to get some of these viral studies back to really make a difference. But they did some subgroup analyses and didn't really see any benefit in any subgroups either.
Interesting. You know, as I did my research, I was also interesting. I've always thought of Bell's palsy as something that affected older people. I was surprised that the most common epidemiologic group was this 15 to 40-year-old group.
That's right, yes.
Interesting. Okay, we look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.